Well, it's good to be back in God's house tonight. Amen. You know, I kind of like singing the old hymns sometimes. I mean, you know, they even have notes that we can sing. Yeah. Lots of harmony. Tonight we're continuing in the from the message this morning, evidenced by calmness. We're talking about peace. Many times we can see individuals that have gone through difficult circumstances, difficult situations, and we wonder, how could we ever go through that? Last night, Kathy and I watched the movie Lone Survivor. If you guys haven't seen that, you need to see it. It's a tremendous, tremendous story of Mark Luttrell, how he would go through so much tragedy in his life, losing three of his closest friends there on the Afghanistan front. I look at some of the things that individuals have gone through. Just recently, we celebrated the 70th anniversary of D-Day. Things that humans would never think possible. And we wonder, how can they go through those things and still remain sane? How can a person be thrust into a situation and yet have a peace that passes all human understanding? There have been things happen in our own lives, in Kathy's life, in my life, with our kids, where we're totally dependent upon the direction that God is leading, to the point that if things were not to work out in a good sense, we could actually lose one of our kids to doing things and to living in the world or being arrested or something like that. We've all had situations in our lives that has arisen to where we have faced difficult decisions, turning to the Lord for His guidance and for His direction, only sometimes to hear nothing from heaven. And that's difficult. Sometimes God will actually allow us a period of time of searching for Him so that when we truly see Him and get His direction, we will listen and obey more intensely. We will be more willing to go that direction that He is leading simply because it took us so much time and so much effort to get that direction in the first place. This morning we looked at peace as a gift. It's a gift that is bestowed upon us. It is not something that we can achieve or that we can gain by doing something. See, that's the peace that the world has. But the peace that God gives us is bestowed upon us. It is given to us. And therefore, it is not something that can be achieved. And that's why it is so true and so near in our hearts that when we are going through treacherous situations, we can have a peace that passes all human understanding. We also saw this morning that peace is a guard for our hearts, and that peace guards our hearts so that when there is something that erodes that peace, it is like the alarm bell that sends us running to God for His protection and for His guidance. See, when we are very peaceful and we're on the mountaintop, it's very easy to be peaceful on the mountaintop when everything is going right. Amen? But when the bottom of our life drops out, when things don't go right, when situations arise that we have never faced before, When those times come and God is able to give you a peace that passes all human understanding, it guards our heart from the things that Satan wants to accomplish in our lives. Tonight we're going to look at peace as a guide. Turn with me tonight to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 15. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Peace as a guide. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you so much that you have given your son Jesus to die for us. But more than that, Father, we thank you for living with us and abiding with us and allowing us the privilege of abiding with you, that you might be able to guide us through the treacherous waters of life. We pray tonight, Father, that we might see how this works and how you can guide us simply through a peace that would pass all human understanding. Father God, we thank you tonight that we can come and to look to your word for encouragement and for guidance. And we pray tonight, Father, that you would speak to every heart that is here. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you could put that, leave that scripture up for a second. Notice what the scripture says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in your lives. Everyone say rule. That's right. Let the peace of God rule in your lives, in your hearts. That word rule means to govern. It means to guide. So when the peace of Christ is ruling and guiding in our hearts, we are able to tell the direction that God is leading apart from the direction that we would personally take. If you're a mother and you've been hiding your child for 3 months and you can no longer hide your child because they're getting old enough now that they're going to cry and everyone's going to know that you've got a baby boy, and the emperor has said, or the king has said, or Pharaoh has said, I'm going to kill all the babies. And you make a little ark and you put him in the water, and God takes him right down by the man that wants to kill him. That's not what we would do. Amen? But that's what God does. God's way is many times different than our way. And when we are trying to control things, remember, self is an enemy of peace. When we are trying to control things, we are going to get the results of what we can do. But when God is in control of things and He is guiding us through His peace, then we are going to get a result that God can produce in our lives. The peace that I'm talking about is exceptional in its character. It's exceptional in its character. It is never wrong. God is never going to say, okay, Craig, this is the way I want you to go, and then I'm a little bit frustrated with that direction, and he gives me a peace that passes all human understanding, and I go that direction, and he goes, oh, wait a minute, I changed my mind. That's not the way God works. God knows the end from the beginning. And because of that, peace is a guide that we can be guided by. When we are struggling, when we are anxious, when we are frustrated, when we don't see the direction, many times what He wants us to do is to simply calm down and relax in His presence. And when we calm down and relax in His presence, we are able to sense what He is doing. Many years ago, there was a speedboat operator. And these speedboats, I don't know why anybody would run a speedboat that fast across water. A car, yes, not a speedboat. And he was just glancing across the top of the water as those speedboats do. And for some reason, somehow, some way, there was some air that got underneath there that wasn't supposed to be there. And it took his like this, and he landed upside down. They have a safety rig inside those boats for those drivers. And he was plummeted into that water, and it was dark, and he could not see what was going on. And he struggled for a few moments. And then he resigned himself to just relax. And when he relaxed and remained motionless, he felt the safety harness starting to lift him to the surface. And then he knew what direction the surface was, and he swam to the surface. Many times we are so frantic, and there's so much going on in our heads and so much going on in our hearts that God cannot give us that peace as a guide because we're not open to that. We're wanting to have something resolved right now, and sometimes the resolution takes a long period of time. Peace is an excellent guide. Everyone knows what the absence of peace feels like, but I want to bring it to you tonight. I want everybody just to take your hands like that and fold it just like you're going to pray. I've done this before. It's worth doing again. Feel how comfortable that is, how peaceful that is. Now, I want you to watch me. I want you to invert your grip. I want you to put the other thumb on top, just like that. Feel how bad that feels. Feel that? It's not peaceful, is it? That's the difference. When we quiet ourselves, when we relax in His protection and in His provision, when we are able to relax, He is able to guide us through peace. And when we see that peaceful direction, it could be chaotic, it could be very difficult, but when He gives us a peace that passes all human understanding, we know that's the direction that God wants us to take. There have been several situations in churches that I've pastored where God is leading in a direction and it appears to be chaotic, it appears to be, you know, difficult. It appears that there could actually be opposition, but when we go that direction, it brings a peace, and everyone will say, yes, we don't understand. We don't understand why God is wanting us to do this, or how this can happen, or what the result might be, but because of the peace that we all have, we are certain this is what God is wanting in the life of our church. First Baptist Church of Vandalia had been struggling for many years. There were a few individuals, retired teachers in the church, and there was a retired superintendent of schools in the church. And they felt like they wanted to start a Christian school in the church. And I had a pastor's wife from another town, from First Baptist in Mulberry Grove, that called me and said, hey, I hear you're thinking about or praying about starting a school. And that's a huge undertaking. A huge undertaking. So I met with the potential teachers and with the potential superintendent, which is Rod. And we met and started praying about it. The church was actually opposed to it, believe it or not. They were opposed to it. We were going to be using it as an outreach. We knew it was going to be difficult, but we really sensed that any kind of opposition, God would take care of that opposition in a way that wouldn't cause any problems. We just had a peace about it. It was difficult. There was opposition. Many people had voiced opposition to it. It was going to be more costly on the church itself. There was no way that the school could financially do what they were wanting to do. So it was going to require funds from the church. And there were people that were, you know, these funds have been set aside, and it was causing potential problems in the church. And we just continued to pray about it until the whole church sensed that direction. Now, believe it or not, the whole church did sense that direction. And they decided to start off small with a K through 4. So we started off small with a K through 4, and in a couple years, we needed a K through 6. Went to K through 6, and then they needed a K through 8. It was phenomenal what God did in the life of that church, because through that opposition, I could have put my hands on it, and I could have overruled everybody, and I could have been aggressive and dominating, and I could have taken care of it to make sure that that school took place and to make sure that whatever I wanted took place. But I knew that was going to turn people off. That was going to make me the enemy. It was going to put the big target on me. So when God did that, it was amazing to see the harmony within the church that had originally had opposition. Why? Because we just covered it in prayer and allowed the peace of God to guide the church and allow God the time to change the hearts of the individuals that were in opposition. God did that, not us. And when things started to come together, people were amazed at the donations that came in, and now the school was completely financially solid, not needing any money from the church at all. That's what God does. Many times we see the need in a church, and this is what we need to do, and this is what we need, where we need to go. But if we will allow God to guide us through His peace, we'll always get godly results. But it requires taking that step back and taking our hands off of it so that God can do His work in His church. Because it's not ours, amen? It's His. And so we have to be sensitive to that. That's why peace is exceptional in its character. It will never, ever lead us astray. It's also excellent in its consequences. We will always see God's hand work when we take our hands off of things. When I look back at the struggles that we had, I mean, we had some major people, we had some deacons, and the deacon body was split on it, wide apart. And there were people that were, and you know that this will happen, that will campaign and they will draw up sides. And that was starting to happen in the church. And it was almost as bad as if you're for the school, you sit on this side, and if you're against the school, you sit on this side. It almost got to that point. But see, the consequences are always great when we take our hands off of it and allow God to put His hands on it. We always get that godly response and that godly outcome. That's why peace is such a great guide in our lives. I remember when Nathan had gone to college at Southwest Baptist University in Bolivar. He had gone through some things in college that was difficult. And he had some difficulties even with the law. Now, this is Nathan. He was the kid that never got in trouble at school. He was the kid that never got in trouble in our family. And there were some things that took place. And I think there are things that I even don't know at this point. that took place. But when it was all said and done, God had his hand on our son, and we saw a godly result. The consequences of what he had done was something that he could live with. It wasn't anything real bad, I'll say that, so you don't have to worry about, oh my. But it was tremendous to see what God had done in his life, which actually redirected him back to the way he was supposed to be walking in the first place. When we allowed God to put his hand on our son and take our hands off of the situation, we got the godly result that we had been praying for. Sometimes you have to take your hand off of it. Right now, my brother is struggling. I talked to him this week, just out of the blue. I texted my sister and said, how are you guys doing? Hadn't seen you talked to you for a little bit. I like to keep a little bit of communication going. I'm not a big communicator with my siblings. And she said, have you called Rod or talked to Rod? And I said, no. And so she said, well, why don't you text him? He'd enjoy knowing this. So I did, and he calls me back. He said, did someone tell you to call me? And I said, no. Well, did anyone tell you that I got some bad news today? And I said, no. What's going on? He said, I went to the counselor and found out that my wife, that we've been having problems for 4 years, says that she's led by God to get a divorce. How do you feel about that, Rod? He says, well, I'm sitting in the tip-top bar in Ames. This is at 10:30 in the morning. He says, I've already had four. And he says, I have to go to work at 2:00. And he works with my sister. My brother is struggling. And the reason why he's struggling is because he is such a control freak person. He's got to keep his hands on things. I, on the other side, have to take my hands off of him so that God will have direct access to him, because God's going to be able to do more in his life than I can long distance. I take my hands off of him and just cover him in prayer so that God is able to do a work in his life to draw him close. Because my brother says he doesn't sense the love of God anymore in his life. My brother's been suicidal. And he's going through this difficult time. So my prayer is, God, you know the people that could best help him. So because they're going to get a divorce and she's going to come and get all of her stuff, which is most of the stuff he has, he doesn't have a washer and dryer, and so he found an ad on eBay and found out it was close. It was in Ames, and Boone's only 15 minutes away, and so him and Terry went over there, and the guy had the washer and dryer and sold it for less than what he was asking for. But more than that, he was a Christian counselor. And he had an instant connection with my brother. These are things that only God can do. Had an instant connection with my brother to the point that my brother was brought to tears beside his pickup as he was just leaning on the side of his pickup. And the guy's hand was on him and he says, Rod, can I pray for you? Rod says, I don't remember the words that he said at that time, but God was speaking to me so loudly I could not hear him. That's what I'm praying for my brother. And the only way that I'm going to get any kind of a godly result in that is if I take my hands off that situation and allow God to be God in my brother's life. Yes, I want to intervene. Yes, I want to tell him what I would do. Yes, I want to tell him all the things that he could do that would help the situation. But I've got to take my hands off of it and allow God to do that, because when God does it, then I'm going to see a godly result in my brother's life. That's hard. When you see a sibling, he's 18 months older than I am, that's hard to see him walking away from God and not recognizing God's love, and take your hands off of that and allow God to do that work in his life. I know that God is going to use him in a tremendous way. My brother is an excellent counselor. He knows the word inside and out. There is nothing theologically that I can ever tell him that he doesn't already know. He knows it. Problem is, it's not here. It's here. He knows it. No, he doesn't believe it. He hasn't experienced it. He knows it intellectually. And when I take my hands off of that situation, I sense a peace that passes all human understanding, a peace that comforts my heart. Knowing that God is in control of his life, God is the one that gave him life, God is the one that saved him, and God is the one that's going to do a work in his life that's going to be a tremendous testimony someday. Not today, but someday. But it's only going to happen if I don't muddy the waters. Oh, the consequences are always excellent. That's what God wants us to do as individuals with our families, with our friends, with the individuals we come in contact with. He is going to allow you to walk through the valleys of life and experience difficulties so that it can be a testimony to a lost and dying world. Why? Because they're going to see peace in your lives that passes all of their understanding. And through that, they're going to be drawn to Christ. Sometimes we feel like we have to fix it. And God just simply wants to have the full control, not only in our lives, but when he's able to bring that individual to you as you're walking through that valley, for them to see that there's something different about you. Fourthly, we need to see peace as a goal. Peace as a goal. Look with me, please, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Live your life in such a way that you have peace with all men. Peace should be our goal. When we are following after peace, there are going to be things that jolt our lives and jolt our being. That makes us want to take control ourselves. But when peace is the ultimate goal, we will see that what God is doing is better than what we could do ourselves. That's why wise men follow after peace. Wise men follow after peace. Look with me in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I want to read about five verses here, starting in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, and full of mercy. And good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. He says the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure. It's pure. It's peaceable. See, there are things from time to time in our lives that are not pure. The opposite of purity is impurity. Things of the world are impure. And when we see that impurity, we can see that that's not coming from God, because everything that God delivers and gives is pure. It's also peaceful. So when, on the other hand, when we see impurity and we see war and strife and envy, we know that that does not come from God. That's why whenever we're meeting as a group of individuals and we're trying to decide like Vandalia did on a major issue in the church, many times we just have to back off and allow God to be God. Wise men follow after peace because it's first pure, it's very peaceful, it's also gentle. Gentle. To have a gentle word. It's also very reasonable and full of mercy. That's why wise men follow after peace. When Open Door Baptist Church, which was about three-fourths the size of our fellowship hall, and we were running 113. I remember the figure, 113 in Sunday school and 127 or something like that in worship service. We were literally sitting on each other's laps, and we decided we needed to build a bigger sanctuary, some place where we could all meet, and that old sanctuary was going to become the fellowship hall. Well, there were problems. You know, there's always going to be those problems. And so we wanted to get an engineer, and they said that they could not span 60 feet to give us a cathedral-type ceiling. I, on the other hand, decided, yes, we could. Because of my engineering degree, I knew that we could span that distance if we used a scissor truss. And so I drew up the plans myself, took it to the engineers, and they scratched their head and went, yeah, okay, that'll work. Yeah, that'll work. And so we had them just simply put the outside up, and we finished everything else in that church. The electrical, the heating, the cooling, all of that we did ourselves. It was phenomenal what that church went through and the result of that church. We took our hands off of the control of that church. The pastor had a fourth grade education and taught himself how to pray, how to read by simply reading the Bible. And Jim, it was my father, like Paul was the father of Timothy. Jim was my Paul. We were always at the church, working on the church. There were those that were still in opposition of the building of the church. And the way God did this, believe it or not, the Bible says how blessed and how great it is where brethren dwell together in unity. They weren't changing their mind. So you know what? God let them go to start a different work. Now, today, some 25 years later, Open Door Baptist Church is still flourishing, and the church that they started is flourishing as well. Does God allow that? Absolutely. Look at Abraham and Lot. Look at Paul's missionary journey with John Mark. God allows that because unity is the number one thing in a church. And if we are being guided by the peace of God that passes all human understanding, if we're being guided by that, if there are those that are not like-minded, they will eventually move on. And that's okay. Wise men follow peace. The amazing thing is, that church that left, basically, do you remember what they called that church? Victory. That's what it was. Victory. Well, see, Open Door was a break off of First Baptist Church. That's why you can always tell by the name of the church if they're a break off of another Baptist church. Open Door was a break off because they wanted to allow everybody to come into the church. First Baptist wasn't. They were like this. So Open Door started 15 years before Kathy and I got there. God is able to use those things. When we take our hands off, we will see godly results. That's why wise men follow after peace. And I want to close with this, that fools never follow peace, or the wicked man never has peace. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 48, and then I'm going to close. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There's no peace. No peace. There is no shalom. The shalom is not giving them peace. Why? Because they are wicked. They are getting the things that are impure. They're getting the things that are not peaceful. They are getting the things that are not wise. Because they're of the world. That's why wise men follow peace. Peace is a guide for our lives. And as we continue to grow and learn spiritually how God is working, God will bring people to us that we need to envelop, that we need to embrace. Even though they might be of the world at the time, we need to love them as Christ loves them. Amen? So that they will feel welcome in this church and want to come back. We're going to have a vacation Bible school where there's a whole bunch of little kids running around here that need a mama or a daddy or a papa or a nana in their lives to love on them. That's what they need. Oh, there's going to be games and they're going to learn about the Lord and they're going to do Bible verses and things of that nature. But the thing that they are needing is the human connection that we have with God. And when they see that, they're going to want to continue to come. Let me tell you how that works. There was a lady that worked for an insurance company. Her boss was a Christian lady. And that lady that worked for the insurance company, she was a good lady. She was a Christian. But she wasn't going to church. Her husband wasn't going to church. The family wasn't going to church. And the Christian lady that owned the insurance company said, "Do you mind if I stop by and pick your kids up?" And the lady said, "That's fine, yeah, go ahead." And for about the next month, the lady would stop by on Sunday mornings and pick those kids up. Well, after about a month, the lady that was working there at the insurance company, she felt guilty that the boss was coming and picking up the kids, so she decided she would go to church with the kids. And in the process of doing that, her husband really liked having the empty house on Sunday morning because he could sleep in, he could do everything he wanted to do. It was great to have the wife and the kids out of the house. Until the day that she came and her mascara was run. And then he had to go to church just to keep his wife straight. And then because he went to church, God was speaking to him, and he would do this white knuckle clench on the back of the chair in front of him, And he wasn't going to move. He had resigned himself that he wasn't going to go down there and ball and snot all over the place like those Baptists do. That's not civilized. So God continued to work in this family's life until one day when the man finally gave in. But he didn't do it at church. He did it in his own home, in his bathroom, matter of fact. And I know what that man went through because I be that man. I be that man. She be the woman that worked for the insurance lady. Our kids were the kids that were picked up. They reached the family through the kids. That's why VBS is so important. Because we're going to be able to reach individuals that God is going to use later on in a great way to bring honor and glory to Him. Who ever thought that I would ever become a pastor or preacher of the gospel? Not me. Not in my wildest dream. Not her. Not her. But see, that's the way it works. And that's why it's important for us to know that God is wanting to live His life in and through us. That's why the Spirit-filled life is a life that is lived in submission to, being dominated by, and under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, where He is living His life in and through us by expressing the character of Christ in our lives. He expresses that character of Christ in our lives by allowing us to bear the fruit of His likeness, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those attributes and virtues of the fruit of the Spirit are displayed, hear me, in the valleys of life, not on the mountain. That's why when there are difficult things that take place in your individual lives and you come to me and I try to help you sort things through, when those things happen, it's not happening by accident. It's part of God's plan. So that someone else might be able to see your response and your reaction to the situation that you happen to be going through. And when you follow after peace and allow peace to guide your life, you will be displaying Christ in the greatest light. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much. We thank You that You allow us times on the mountaintops, but Father God, we thank You so much that we are able to walk through the valleys of life and that You are there with us, displaying Christ in our lives. We pray, Father, that as we go through those trying times, those situations, those circumstances that would normally devastate the average individual, Father God, we pray that You would allow that peace that would pass all human understanding, that the world that sees us going through this might see Christ shining brightly in our lives. Now, Father, we pray that You will dismiss us with Your grace and with Your mercy for this following week. Guide our paths with Your peace. And we thank You and praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen.